We come this evening to question 31 in the Shorter Catechism. What is effectual calling? Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, he doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to us in the Gospel. What is effectual calling? Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby, convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, he doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to us in the Gospel. There is a system to the Shorter Catechism. There is an order to the questions, and it's important to bear that in mind. Otherwise, you might say, effectual calling, what is the context to that? But the previous question and answer had raised the issue of effectual calling, so now we come to focus exactly on it. What is effectual calling? Well, before we think of the word effectual, we need to recognise what has been referred to with the word calling. It is, of course, the command and the invitation of the Gospel. I describe it in that way because the Gospel is an invitation, but it is more than an invitation, because it is an invitation which comes with the authority of God as he requires you to believe. And yet it's a command which is addressed to you in the most inviting of ways. For he holds out to you life and life in all its fullness. The Gospel, therefore, described here as a calling, is a command and an invitation to the only way of salvation, to Christ Jesus himself. And that calling is addressed to all, to every person, everywhere, indiscriminately. There is no restraint and there is no restriction in the expression of the Gospel call. Think of the words in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. And the issue's there, not water, it's not wine, it's not milk. It's about the blessing of God. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Or as you find in the New Testament, the command of the Saviour to his disciples. At the end of Mark's Gospel, he says to them, go ye into all the world and preach the Gospel to every creature. The calling of the Gospel, that commanding, inviting call, is addressed to all, and that work is given to the church. There the Lord commissions the church to go to the ends of the earth and to make known his good pleasure, that he calls you to come, to turn from your sin, to repent and to believe, to take hold of Christ Jesus the Saviour and live. We might think of it as a work given particularly to preachers, but they're not working in isolation, but rather it's preachers working within the church with the support of the church. It's a work that we're all given to join in, whether we're the one expressing it from the pulpit or we're articulating it in the quiet of our home, that we're commending it by the consistency of our life, as we're praying, as we're uniting all our efforts, all our energies, all our resources to this great end, that the call of the Gospel would sound forth. So Paul says in 2 Corinthians, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And so, as we go out with the gospel, we must present and plead and persuade, even though, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So we are to express the commanding invitation of the Lord to come and to be saved, even though we know we are addressing that commanding invitation, the call of the gospel, to those who do not have the power to respond. It's not an issue with the intellect. It's not an issue with the conscience. It's not an issue with the emotions as such. But rather, it is because there is a spiritual deadness. It demonstrates the extent of sin. The wages of sin is death. And we are dead. And as dead, we are unable to respond to this glorious gospel call to come and to take hold of Christ. We cannot do the very thing that must be done in order that we be saved. But rather, we resist the gospel, even though we may grasp it intellectually, even though our conscience would convict us, even though emotionally we might be moved somewhat. The preacher must preach. The church must preach. But can do no more than that. And at one level it might seem like a very hopeless work. And certainly it would be a very hopeless work if it was dependent upon man alone. But it's not. And that's what we have here. Because it's not simply describing the work of calling, but it's describing the work of effectual calling. You know, God does not bypass powerless men speaking to powerless men, but rather God works in and through powerless men speaking to powerless men through the work of his Spirit. We already considered the word effectual in question 29. It means if something is effectual, it has its intended effect. It works. It's effective. And the gospel is made effective through the work of God's Spirit. But understand this. It's not by changing the gospel. The gospel is what the gospel is. An effectual calling does not change or alter the gospel in any way. It does not change the speaker in any way. But effectual calling impacts the hearer, so that the hearer of this same and of this one gospel message hears in a different way. Effectual calling. It is the work of God's Spirit. It is the direct, gracious intervention of God Himself. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, "For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." You're not dependent upon a priest or a preacher. It's important to seek out a faithful preacher so that you'll hear the word of God as it is and not a version of that. But you're not dependent upon that preacher. That preacher doesn't have a priestly role for the act between you and God. But rather, you must depend upon God himself. And this is the basis upon which the preacher is able to undertake this great work. This is the basis upon the church, on which the church is able to look at the great commission given by our Lord and to go out. It is with the understanding that we do not go out alone. We do not go out in our own strength, but rather God is able and God is active. The promise is that the word will not fall redundant. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." God is pleased to bless the preaching of the word through the working of his Holy Spirit, making that gospel call effectual. It's the context of the Great Commission. It's the power and the authority of God. Think how it's expressed in Matthew. "All power," says our Saviour, "is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So go and do this because I have all authority and power and because I am with you. Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit. And it's direct and it's creative. It's a direct work. It's a work done by God in the individual. Directly by God. And it's a creative work. And I say that because of what we find in 2 Corinthians 4:6, where it says that God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There's a correspondence there to the work of creation at the beginning. This same great power is exercised in bringing the light of understanding to the darkness of the dead heart. Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, and it's a work which is instantaneous. It happens in a moment. But it's not necessarily observable in the moment, but rather in the consequential movement of the heart, of the mind, of the soul. And that's really what's described for us in the rest of the answer. Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery. So how does the Spirit of God work effectually in applying the gospel and enabling you to respond to the gospel? Well, first of all, by convincing of sin and misery. Not simply the concept of sin, but actually the personal crisis of sin. Everyone is convinced of the concept of sin. Might express it differently, might prefer to use a different word. But the reality there is a brokenness, the reality there is shame, the reality there is wrong, there is evil, that concept is universally accepted, but not the personal crisis. Convincing us of our sin and misery. Not simply sin and misery, but our sin and misery. Becomes a conviction before a holy God, a felt experience. You see, the Lord not only in the gospel reveals himself, but in effectual calling, he reveals ourselves, convincing us of our sin and misery. Now, the priority is not the comparative depth or degree of your conviction. Maybe you've heard tell of those whose conviction has been so great, so deep, so dark, so long. The issue is simply this, that you are convinced that you are a sinner, that you are a sinner, that sin has brought misery and that you need a saviour. And supposing you were only convinced of one sin in your life, that would be sufficient to cause you to seek a saviour. Convincing us of our sin and our misery, our guilt before God, the emptiness and the hopelessness of our state before God. That the answer is not more sin, that the answer is not different sin. You know, there's a tragic resilience in us all by nature. That thought that next time I'll do it, or next time I'll find the satisfaction I'm looking for. But when the Spirit of God comes and works effectually in us, we see that the problem is not so much the sin that we do, but the fact that we are sinners. And the misery that brings is that we are alienated from God and under his wrath and curse. Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our mind, in the knowledge of Christ. Enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ. That's where knowledge becomes more than knowledge. You know, the scripture is perhaps familiar, but there may come a point where to you it becomes altogether new. It's not a different Bible. It's not different facts. It's not something that wasn't told you before, but there's a clarity, there's immediacy, there's a relevancy, there is an understanding of the person, that Jesus is not a proposition, but Jesus Christ is a person, and the one who you are alienated from through your sin, and who you need that he might be your saviour. The Saviour said in John's Gospel, "No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." Everyone that has been taught of God, everyone who has been enlightened in their minds with the knowledge of Christ. You see how this effectual calling, it does not happen apart from the Word of God. It doesn't happen without the Word of God. That in enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ is our being given to see and to understand and to believe that gospel, that same gospel, that gospel which was always proclaimed. Not something supplementary to the scriptures. It's not something different from the scriptures. But rather, it's an appreciation of the scriptures. Enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ. Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills. Renewing our wills. That means giving life, spiritual life, so that we will desire Him who hitherto we have not desired. One of the great and solemn spiritual realities is that we get what we want. If you do not want Christ, you will not get Christ. But if you want Him, if you have a desire for Him, if your will has been renewed so that you seek Him, you shall find Him. That's where the Lord said to His disciples, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." For those who hunger and thirst after righteousness are those whose wills have been renewed. They've been given that desire. You know the words, I hope, of Psalm 110 in verse 3, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." The exercise of God's power in grace and in mercy makes willing so that you will choose Christ, so that you will seek Christ, so that you will hunger and thirst after Christ. Those who do not come to the Saviour do not come because they do not desire to, because they do not want to. We're not compelled against our will, but in the mercy of God, He will renew the will. He will change the will. He will give you an appetite for life instead of an appetite for death and destruction, darkness and damnation. Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, He doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to us in the Gospel. He doth persuade and enable us. So that not only are we persuaded, but we are enabled. It's not enough to know, but we must take possession. It's not simply the knowing of the mind, but it's a knowing of experience. In the words of the prophet Ezekiel, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them." Or as the Saviour puts it, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." He doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ. How do we embrace Jesus Christ? We embrace Him by believing. You may not be confident in your own faith, but there is a confidence in Him. There is a reaching out after Him. There is a taking hold of Him. Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, He doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to us in the Gospel. That brings us back to where we began. But the Gospel, the proclamation of the gospel. The gospel is not proclaimed to a certain group. It's not proclaimed to some, but it is freely offered. Or Jesus Christ in the gospel is freely offered to all. With no gospel, there is no salvation. There's no salvation where there's no gospel. But as the gospel sounds for, there will be salvation, because this is the means that God uses. You know, Paul describes the commission he was given in Acts chapter 26 by the Lord. He was told to go to preach in order to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. It wasn't that Paul the apostle had the power to open anyone's eyes, or to turn anyone from darkness to light, or from the power of Satan unto God, but rather that he was to preach the gospel, and that gospel that he preached would be the means that the Lord himself would use in the work of effectual calling, so that God would work through the preacher, and God would work in the hearer, so the hearer would hear and receive and rejoice in the gospel. Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our will, he doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to us in the gospel. Friends, if it wasn't for effectual calling, no one would be saved. The Spirit of God did not work in the heart of men and of women and boys and girls, no one would be saved. No one would choose to come to Christ. No one would repent of sin. Praise God for the effectual application of the gospel in the hearts of sinners. But it's important to understand that it is not necessary for a person to be able to articulate what we've just been considering, or even necessarily to believe what we've been considering, in order to be saved, any more than you need to be able to express and understand the principles of respiration in order to be alive. You breathe, and breathing gives you life. But you might not be able to explain in any way the relationship between your breathing and your living. Well, you know it matters, but what it actually does is maybe way beyond you. And there are those who trust in Jesus Christ, and who are redeemed, and who are going to glory, and will rejoice in him for all eternity, who maybe don't understand and cannot express what we've just considered about effectual calling. But that doesn't mean they haven't been effectually called. The proof of effectual calling is that we embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to us in the gospel. But yet, those who live by faith will see that faith has an appetite for the truth, and there should be a growing in knowledge. But we must distinguish between that growing and having life in itself. I need to conclude, but before I do, I want to challenge you tonight. Not so much to memorise this, though that would be good if you can, but to go through this question and answer, and to turn it from the plural to the singular, to make it personal, so that you might answer the question, what is effectual calling, in this way. That you might say, effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby, convincing me of my sin and misery, enlightening my mind in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing my will, he doth persuade and enable me to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to me in the gospel. And if you are able, with a measure of integrity, to express that wonderful truth in that wonderful way, you will realize there is no place for boasting, is there? Because it's all of grace. It's all of Christ. It's all the work of God. It's not an intellectual ability. It's not a spiritual power that individuals have of their own. It's not genetic. It's not environmental. It's not a reward. But it is a working of grace. And therefore, as we rejoice in his truth, we seek to give God all the glory for his mercy to us. Amen.